Turn with me this morning in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. And I am going to start reading at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 11 through 16. And I'm going to do something that I very rarely do. I always read out of my NIV translation Bible, which I do have here with me. But for the purpose of one specific word that I want to use, I'm reading out of a New King James Version here this morning. So it might be a little bit different if you have an NIV, but if you have a New King James, we'll be right on the same page there together. So let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. Again, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, out of the New King James says this, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edification of itself in love." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we meditate on these words from this great book, Father, I pray that the text will just jump right off the page and right into our hearts. And Father, lead us into the truths that we need to understand about this here this morning. And Father, as always, you will get all the honor and you will get all the glory for the lives that you change for all of us in here, Lord. We thank you for that. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Back on November the 8th of last year, which has been almost 2 months ago now, I began a sermon series on spiritual gifts. And for one reason or another, I kind of got off topic and we talked about other things through the remainder Sundays of last year. But we're going to pick back up on that here again today. And I don't know how many weeks this is going to go, but it will go as long as it has to go. And so with that, let me kind of refresh our memories of what we talked about 2 months ago. Well, with any other topic that I preach on here, we have to start with a foundation of some sort. And if a foundation is built on sinking sand, what happens to that foundation? It crashes, doesn't it? Whatever's built on, it's going to crash. So I believe it's very, very important that not only this topic, but any topic that we talk about, that we understand the foundational facts about that topic, and in particular about spiritual gifts. Because if we don't know the foundational truths, who knows what beliefs we might believe about these things later on. So in week number one, we covered these 4 points, and I'll make them rather quick. Number one, who receives spiritual gifts? Only believers receive spiritual gifts. Number two, who gives believers these spiritual gifts? The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the Holy Spirit gives the spiritual gifts. Well, what gift or gifts do believers receive? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I believe it's verse 10. The Holy Spirit will determine what gifts we receive. And allow me to repeat, it's there in your bulletin. They are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, and they cannot be taught. Why? Because they're gifts. They are given to us. And then the last point that we discussed 2 months ago was, how do I know what gifts or gifts that I have? Well, I answered that by saying this. When we use our gift or gifts with the right intentions, they will never, ever, ever be a burden to us or to other people, other believers. And why is that? Because we will be using these gifts in the power of the Holy Spirit and certainly not in our own power. Because he has gifted us to use these particular gifts. Let me just give a couple examples of kind of how that works. If you are trying to teach in a church setting or a biblical setting or believe with believers, and teaching is not your gift, you're not going to do it very effectively. And it's going to be a chore for you to prepare your lessons, and you're not going to receive any joy or any peace by doing and trying to use a gift that you do not have. On the other hand, let's pick another gift, giving, or the gift of generosity. If generosity is your gift, then it will never be a chore to use that gift. And you always will have peace and joy when you use that gift in the way that it was intended. There is a phrase, and I just already said it, but I kept on repeating it last week. It's in your bulletin. You see on the inside cover, there's a little place there that has a little picture of a gift. And there's something written underneath there, and I've already said it here this morning. But this is so foundational, and I want us all to repeat those words that I have here. It says this: they are not earned, they are not learned, they cannot be bought, they cannot be taught. They are gifts. Okay, we need to remember that as we go through this whole series, because that's kind of foundational as to what spiritual gifts are all about. And I'm going to throw in just a couple different gifts in this next paragraph that I have here to kind of substantiate that they cannot be earned, learned, bought, or taught. You cannot, and I cannot do enough of works to earn a gift of discernment, so to speak. You cannot learn how to be a generous giver. You cannot buy faith, and I cannot teach you how to be an encourager. Yes, we could all search the scriptures and learn more about what the gifts are and how they impact our lives, but that's about as far as we can go. The gift or gifts that I have, that you have, are going to be determined by the Holy Spirit. So all that's a refresher from week number one. Today we're going to talk about the purpose of the gifts that we have been given. So why do we have spiritual gifts? And what should I use my gifts for? An analogy that I gave, 2 months ago, I'll kind of real quickly give it again, is that the company that I work for over in Waynesboro, McClung Printing, I work in their shipping department. The McClung companies, they provide me with tools to do my job. They give me a box cutter with plenty of blades to put in it. They give me boxes. They give me a dolly. They give me a computer. They give me a tape gun. They give me all these things that I normally wouldn't have because they want me to do my job for them the best that I can. So the Spirit of God, likewise, the analogy is this. The Spirit of God provides believers with the necessary tools that we need to do our jobs here as believers. We don't call them tools, we call them spiritual gifts. Why do we have these? So we can do our job as believers more effectively and certainly more efficiently. Now, with that, let's define more specifically what our job or our responsibility as a believer might be. Now, the question that might come up right now is, I'm a believer. I have a job to do. What do you mean? I have a responsibility. Well, the answer to that would be, yes, you do. Yes, I do. And yes, every believer does. And another way of saying that is this. Once we become believers, once we have gone over into that Christian faith, we now have a purpose. It's more than we must not ever think that once we become a believer, it's nothing more than That's all we need to do. Oh, we just get saved and, oh, we might show up for church every now and again, or, you know, when the basket gets passed, I'll throw in a couple bucks here and there. And you know, certainly when there's potluck dinners, I might show up a little more often. But being a believer is more than attending church. It's more than throwing a little bit of money in the basket. And it's certainly a lot more than attending the potluck dinners. Although I'm very appreciative that we attend the potluck dinners. Believers, we have a job to do as believers. Why? Because God has given us a purpose. And He has equipped us accordingly to fulfill that purpose. You'll notice in our scripture reading this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it is the responsibility of the church leaders, specifically the pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of service. That's what it says there in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So let's go to our fill in the blanks. We've got quite a few of them here this morning. So let's go through them. And the first one would be this. It is the responsibility of the pastor to equip the saints for work of the service. Wow. You know, when I read that, I thought, you know, maybe I've been a little slack on that. You know, maybe I haven't talked enough about spiritual gifts to kind of help the congregation along. So I'm going to try to make a major improvement in that. And with that, my job consists of kind of three things. One, to let you know, A, there are things such as spiritual gifts. And number two, to help direct you and I into what they may be. And we'll kind of go through more of that next week. And three, how to use those gifts more effectively and with a purpose. So hopefully over this whole sermon series, we'll get to know, oh, yeah, I do have a spiritual gift, as we go and talk about each one of them and how that gift or gifts can help help us all. Help us all? What do you mean by that? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's probably the most explanation that Paul gives anywhere in the Bible about spiritual gifts. Paul uses this analogy and he compares it to a body. He talks about the body. Now, we very commonly call it here the body of believers. We are a body of believers. So the body is the church. And that church can mean us here, a local church like Beech Grove, or it can mean the global church, the whole church around the globe. But for the whole purpose of this exercise today and over the next weeks, we're just going to focus more on the local church right here. Now, I'm not going to go back and read 1 Corinthians 12 all the way through verses 12 through 26. But he compares the people in a church to a body with parts. And each body part has its function. And when every body part is functioning well, then the entire body functions well. Now, that's a pretty simple analogy. Did you ever have something wrong with you? Something's not working quite right. Do you ever just like stub your big toe? Do you ever get like a little splinter in your finger? Life is over, isn't it? You get a little splinter in your finger, or you stub your toe, and it's like your whole body just collapses. You don't know what to do. It's like everything just fails. Or maybe if you have a cold or whatever it might be. If something in your body is not working quite right, it affects everything, doesn't it? And a lot of us have learned a lot about that over the past year, that's for sure. But when it does function well, when every part is functioning well, then our whole body functions well. And the same goes with us here at Beech Grove Church. When we all use our spiritual gifts, this body of believers right here is going to function extremely well. Paul also makes this comparison back in verses 12 through 26. He says this, that not all the parts in a human body are visible. Some are on the outside that we see. We see hands and fingers and toes and legs and face and things like that. But some are on the inside. Some that are invisible. But the ones that are invisible are just as important, if not more so, than the ones that are on the outside. Now, I was trying to think of a good analogy for this. Please forgive me for this analogy, but I thought it was a great analogy. How many times have we ever seen the inside of our body? None. I did. I saw a part of the inside of my body once. Okay, please don't be offended. A couple years ago, back in 2008, I had a colonoscopy. And I got to watch it on the monitor. And I thought it was one of the most fascinating things I've ever seen. I really did. There's a part of the human body that's been a part of me for 60 years that I have never seen. And I thought it was wonderful. Okay, we'll let that alone now. Okay. Too much information. That's way too visual, Mike. But the point I'm getting at is this. There are parts inside our body that are very, very important. There are parts outside our body that are very, very important. But there are people in the church who have spiritual gifts that those gifts are more on the invisible side. That they kind of work behind the scenes, so to speak. They happen and nobody knows that they are happening. Now, my spiritual gifts are certainly visible gifts. I stand in front of you every Sunday and stand over there and teach every Sunday. And those are my two gifts, preaching and teaching. They're the gifts that I have, and they are very visible gifts. But there are some of you in here, many of you in here, as a matter of fact, that have more invisible type gifts. And they are more behind the scenes. And I guarantee you this, that this body of believers at Beech Grove Church would never work well at all, and this place wouldn't even be here, if those invisible parts didn't do what their gifts have them doing, and they're serving their purpose with that. So for all you invisible parts, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad that you're a part of this church. So let's move on to our second fill in the blank, and let's go through the rest of these kind of rather quickly. So why does Paul tie in spiritual gifts with the analogy of a body? First of all, I think we all understand the analogy, and it's a very simple one, and I think it's a very good one. But we have to look at this. We have to think of the church as this. The church is not an organization. It is an organism. Okay? The church is not an organization. We are not the country club. We are not the Elks. We are not the Moose. We're an organism. Why is that different? Because the body of believers is a living and breathing entity. We are an organism. And that organism needs to be fed, it needs to be nourished so it can be built up. The body needs to be, and here's the reason I picked a New King James Version, the body of believers needs to be edified. I love that word, edify. What does that word mean, to edify? Well, Webster defines edify as this. It means to teach, definition number one, to teach in a way that improves the mind or character. Definition number two, which more applies to us here, to uplift, to enlighten, to inform, and to build up. The church body, us, needs to be edified. I want to go back and read Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 again, because I want to get to the third fill in the blank here. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Our third fill in the blank is pretty straightforward. We use our spiritual gifts to edify the body of Christ. And in verse 16 of that same chapter, it says this, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, or what every part supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we use our spiritual gifts to edify the body of Christ. And when we do our share, as it says here in verse 16, when we use our gifts, whatever they may be, the body grows and gets edified. because it says that in verse 16. For the edifying of itself. What do you mean itself? Not of oneself, of itself, the body. The body gets edified. Because, remember, it's not an organization. It is an organism. When we look at our gifts, and I'll just look at mine for instance, preaching and teaching. I do not use my gifts to edify me. Because that's not their purpose. I use my gifts of teaching and preaching to edify us. My concern with my spiritual gifts should never be me. My concern should always be you, should always be the body, should be us, other believers. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 24b and 25, it says this, if I can find it here real quick, 24 and 25 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. So with that, when he's talking about spiritual gifts, let's fill in our next fill in the blank. And it would say this, we are given different gifts so that there will be no division or schism, whichever word you want to use, in the body, and that every part should have equal concern or care for each other. So our spiritual gifts are to be used for this, not to divide us, but certainly to bring us closer together. Because our gifts, whatever your gift, my gift might be, that we have concern and care for somebody else. There we can see that concept of edification again. Every part will have equal concern, equal care for the other. And when we do, when I have care for you and you have care for the person next to you and we all have care for each other, then divisions and schisms, whichever word your Bible uses, they're not going to break out in the church. Because this, I need you. God has not equipped me with everything. You need the person next to you because the person next to you has a gift possibly that you don't have. And I'm obviously glad that you need me because I'm still here after all these years. Thank you. But we need to have concern and care for each other. Now, these last two fill in the blanks will come from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 through 11. So let me find that here real quick. This Bible that I have is not in an order that's easy to figure out here. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. Let's see if I can find it here. Oh, gee. I think I found it. No, that's verse chapter 5. Oh, here it is. Chapter 4. Okay. Read the NIV there, Miss Cindy.
Chapter 4,
verses 7 through 11.
Administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Miss Cindy. And as you were reading that, I eventually found it, and the translations are just about the same. So our next fill in the blank says, what do we use our gifts for? And it's very similar to the one before that. The gifts are used to serve each other faithfully. And who are the each others? Well, it's us. It's the believers here in this body, the church, the body of believers. Once again, we see that the purpose of the gifts that I have, that you have, are for the edification of the body and not for self. And then our very last fill in the blank would say this. When everyone uses their gifts, and this is the ultimate thing here, folks, and we need to remember this. When everyone uses their gifts, God gets the praise and the glory. God gets the praise and the glory. Well, certainly, we use our gifts, as I said, to build up the body. That I use my gifts to build up you, you use your gifts to build up me, and we use our gifts to build up each other and to edify each other. I love that word, edify. And that's always a good thing. That's a great thing. The Bible tells us that. But ultimately, when we, as a body of believers, start looking good, when we use our spiritual gifts the way we're supposed to use them, then who really looks good? Us? How about God? God gets the praise, and God gets the glory. And after all, it is His Spirit that has given us and determined what gifts we have, right? It says that back in 1 Corinthians 12:10, that He has determined what gifts we need. I honestly feel like there are some churches, that's why God brings different people to different churches, because a church might be lacking in this one area right here, and it needs that gift. And all of a sudden, in some Sunday, comes this person who very nicely just fills that gap. So, just like the proper use of the tools that I use over on my job, 40 hours a week in McClung's, I use those tools, why? To benefit our customers that we have. And the proper use of our spiritual gifts will help build up other believers like you and I. And just like the proper tools that I use over there, not only benefits our customers, but it benefits the people who gave them to me, the company itself. And the company starts looking good. When I do my job well, the company looks good in the community. When we use our spiritual gifts properly, then it makes God look good. And we certainly want God to look good in this world. One of the things we talked about in Sunday school this morning was how divisive certain things can be within churches. And I just know what goes through the minds of some unbelievers when they see church splits and things, people like that happening. Folks, we're going to use our spiritual gifts, whatever that gift or gifts are that God has given you, to help bind this church together, to serve each other faithfully, and to make God look good. Does that sound like a good plan for 2016? I think it's a great plan. Because improper use of our spiritual gifts has the potential for tearing down other believers and making God look like a fool. And we certainly don't want to do that. So we want to use our gifts for the glory of God, whatever those gifts may be. So when we come back in next week, we're going to go over what a lot of those specific gifts are. And I'm not going to challenge you. I'll challenge you individually, but you're going to have to figure out, maybe that's me. Maybe that is the gift that I have. And I can use that for the edification, new word in our vocabulary, for the edification of the body of believers, not only here at Beech Grove, but around the world too. So with that, let's go to God in prayer.